Welcome to Wisconsin Public Broadcasting's coverage of Governor Scott Walker's 2016 State of the State Address. We are live at the Wisconsin State Capitol in Madison. In a few moments, Scott Walker, the 45th governor of Wisconsin, will make his way into the assembly chambers. He will speak tonight before the full legislature, the Wisconsin Supreme Court, his cabinet, and other statewide elected officials. Good evening. I'm Frederica Freiberg from Wisconsin Public Television.
And I'm Sean Johnson from Wisconsin Public Radio. This will be Scott Walker's sixth State of the State gathering before a joint session of the legislature, and this is what the 102nd Wisconsin legislature looks like. Republicans right now hold large majorities in both houses. In the Assembly, Democrats have 36 representatives, and Republicans hold 63 seats. In the Wisconsin Senate, there are 14 Democrats and 19 Republicans heading into this 2016 election year. And Wisconsin is one of 24 states where Republicans control both the full legislature and the governor's office.
Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barca of Kenosha and Racine will provide the Democratic response following the governor's State of the State address.
And tonight, Scott Walker lays out his plans for 2016. And really, if you compare this State of the State speech to the one he gave a year ago, the circumstances couldn't be much different.
A year ago, of course, he laid out a State of the State address that very much sounded like he had national intentions, which, of course, he did.
And every word in the speech was being judged for how it might play on the campaign trail. He wasn't an official candidate for many months, but it was obvious that he was still headed that direction. This year, it's kind of a new experience for him because there is nothing like that on the horizon. There's no presidential race around the corner for Governor Walker. There's no reelection campaign coming up later this year. There's no recall campaign coming up later this year. All that tumultuous ride of his first term is gone. And now you have a governor who is seemingly trying to reboot in a way, choose the direction he's going to go from here.
He's back in Wisconsin. He talks about how he will be visiting with people all across the state. He has, we have had an early look at his address. He has some things in this address, including his college affordability plan, which we've heard some about prior to tonight. Democrats are suggesting that it doesn't go far enough. I guess that's the nicest thing you might say about what the Democrats are saying about his college affordability plan.
Yeah, I mean, just strictly politically speaking, that's an issue that they have really hammered home for the past few years and have kind of tried to own, I guess you'd say. And it's one that the governor has come in and is going to talk about tonight. He's talked about it a bit already. He's going to lay out what he sees as his college affordability plan. It will lack something like Democrats want, which is the ability to refinance student loans. But, you know, that was a conscious omission by the governor.
We do know that the Democrats, as you say, have had their own plan on this score, and that probably the refi is the biggest prong or one of the most important prongs to them. The governor tonight, though, also talks about how he believes that Wisconsin is strong and getting stronger. He talks a lot about jobs in the economy and the comparison between where we are today and where we were when he first took office. Again, as you might expect, the minority party, the Democrats, are talking about how he, quote, has been cherry-picking some of his numbers when he talks about jobs and the economy.
And this is Senate President Mary Lozick.
Pursuant to Article 5, Section 4 of the Wisconsin Constitution, the Joint Convention of the Legislature will come to order for purposes of receiving the Governor's State of the State Address. At this time, I'd like to introduce our distinguished guests this evening. With us, we have our constitutional officers, Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. Attorney General Brad Schimmel. State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tony Evers. Also with us this evening are the distinguished members of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, Chief Justice Patience Rokensack. Justice Shirley Abrahamson. Justice David Prosser. Justice Annette Ziegler. Justice Michael Gableman. And Justice Rebecca Bradley. Okay, the joint convention shall stand informal, awaiting the arrival of the governor. The joint convention shall come to order.
And there was
the
little...
chair recognizes the assembly, Sergeant at Arms.
Madam President and members, the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, the Honorable Scott Walker.
And there is the governor making his way down the aisle of the State Assembly, shaking hands with both sides. A little different introduction to the State of the State speech than in the past. The Senate president kind of went through the roll there. That's something the governor might do in his speech typically. You know, one other thing that that makes this speech a little bit different than last year's is that time is going to run out on this session pretty quickly. They don't have to adjourn at the end of February, but the Assembly Speaker has said he has every intention of getting the Assembly's work done by then, meaning, you know, this is not exactly a great time to introduce a huge new package of bills, because there's not going to be that much time to get them done.
And yet, I do understand that Speaker Voss has said that he would like to try to get the governor's college affordability plan, kind of package of bills, passed this session.
He did say that today, that he supports it. I think for the Speaker to come out and say that we're going to do that quickly is probably a good sign that his caucus supports it. And he's got 63 seats over there, so... even if everybody wasn't on board, he can afford to lose a few there. See the governor shaking hands with Minority Leader Peter Barca, who will speak after the speech, and there to Senate Minority Leader Jen Schilling.
Again, the governor tonight is expected to talk a lot about what he calls the Wisconsin comeback and how he says the comeback is real. And he has some numbers to attach to this, quite a few, actually. Again, numbers that the minority Democrats say they take exception to. They kind of go line by line in some of their communication that they've been putting out ahead of the speech. But the governor would like the state to hear about how he's back, and he believes the state has come back as well.
You'll hear him hit some pretty familiar numbers for him. He likes to talk about the state's low unemployment rate. You won't hear him do the state-to-state comparisons so much, which aren't as good for Wisconsin.
At this time, it is my great honor to introduce the governor of the great state of Wisconsin, the Honorable Scott Walker.
Speaker Voss, Speaker Pro Tem August, President Lasik, Majority Leader Fitzgerald, Minority Leader Schilling, Minority Leader Barca, members of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, constitutional officers, tribal leaders, members of the cabinet, distinguished guests, members of the legislature, and most importantly, fellow citizens of the great state of Wisconsin. It is my honor to appear before you tonight. Before we get started, I would like to introduce the First Lady of the great state of Wisconsin, my wife, Tonette. Next to her is our son Alex and my parents Lou and Pat Walker as well. Now, as many of you know, Tonette is involved with numerous important initiatives like Fostering Futures and Teen Challenge. Each of these programs helps so many Wisconsinites facing significant challenges. As we look ahead, let us not forget the struggles that many face today. I often think of our fellow citizens who are facing battles with serious diseases. Having gone through it as a family, in our own case, we know how close it hits to home for me and for Tonette. It's also very real for one of our own, State Representative Tom Weatherston, who lost his wife, April, to cancer just this past weekend. Tom, we are here for you, and we lift you and your family up in our thoughts and in our prayers. Others are also dealing with serious disease in this chamber. Representative Tom Larson is battling cancer. Tom, I want you to know that you and Mary are in our thoughts and our prayers as you continue this battle. Representative John Mako's wife, Sue, has her own battle with cancer. John, I want to let you and Sue know that we're praying for both of you as you continue down this path. And Representative Beth Myers recently lost her father-in-law. And Beth, we want to let you and your family know that you too are in our thoughts and our prayers during this difficult time. Next to my wife is the Adjutant General, the Wisconsin National Guard, Major General Donald Dunbar. Accompanying him tonight are several of our combat veterans from the Wisconsin Army and Air National Guard, as well as family members of soldiers just recently deployed to Iraq and Kuwait with the 101st Airborne Division. Representing the families of our deployed here tonight, we have Carrie Kuzik, Michelle Johnson, and Laura and Blake Bowman. Thank you all, and all of those you represent, for your service and your sacrifice. We thank each and every one of you, and as I mentioned, all that you represent here in this great state. The state of our state is strong. We are moving Wisconsin forward. Think about these simple facts. There are more people working in Wisconsin than at nearly any point in our state's history. State finances are stable. Our school students are doing well overall. College tuition is frozen. And property and income taxes are down from 2010. The Wisconsin comeback is real. When I was running for re-election just over a year ago, I said that we would ensure that everyone who wanted a job could find a job. So what kind of progress have we made in the past year? Well, the most recent unemployment rate in our state is the lowest it has been since March of 2001. Let's put that into perspective. My son Alex, who we introduced, is a junior here in town at the University of Wisconsin. And my other son, Matt, is a senior at Marquette University. The last time the unemployment rate was that low, they were 5 and 6 years old. That's a long time ago. Late last year, we saw the largest monthly jobs gain since April of 1992. That's nearly 24 years ago, back before Toinette and I had even gone on our first date. The percentage of people working in Wisconsin, what's called the labor force participation rate, is 67.8%. This is 5.3 points better than the national rate and puts us in the top 10 states in America. And according to the federal government's current employment statistics and local area unemployment statistics, more people were working in Wisconsin in 2015 than at any time in the past 20 years. That's right. While so many in the media seem to obsess with negative stories, these facts from the Federal Department of Labor show that more people were working during this past year than at any time in the last two decades. Last year, initial weekly unemployment claims averaged the lowest level since 1989. The facts show that fewer people are filing for unemployment and more people are working. People like Sam Kreitzer of Madison, who was hired as a certified nursing assistant at St. Mary's, and Brian Schuster from Lodi, who got a job working as an architectural designer at Sullivan Design Build. Thanks for being here tonight, guys. Not only are more people working, new business formations were up 3.6% last year. And the economic impact of tourism increased 5.5%. To continue this kind of growth in jobs and commerce, employers want stability. That's why we work so hard to get our fiscal house in order. It also ensures that the government will not be a burden on future generations. I am proud that Wisconsin finished the fiscal year with a $135.6 million budget surplus. The state's rainy day fund is the largest in our state's history, 165 times bigger than when we first took office. Wisconsin is one of only two states with a fully funded pension system. Our neighbors to the south have a pension that's not even half funded. We are covered. This fact provides peace of mind to our retirees. And it gives businesses part of the certainty that they need to hire people here in Wisconsin. Our per capita debt, which includes pension and long-term health obligations, is among the lowest. That means we're one of the top 10 best states in the country. Bonding levels in the current state budget are the lowest in 20 years. And we continue to weed out waste, fraud, and abuse to make government more effective, more efficient, and more accountable to you, the hardworking taxpayers. In 2012, I launched the Lean Government Initiative. Now, here's one example. This past year, the Department of Safety and Professional Services used Lean to save nearly $38,000 annually by switching to electronic documents for some of its panels. Thankfully, our employees realized that every dollar counts. To put this in perspective, the money saved from this reform is enough to pay for 43 students to go through a youth apprenticeship. Tonight, Janie Brisky, a state employee who was the sponsor of that Lean project, is here with us. Thank you, Janie. Now, let me repeat. Our goal is to ensure that everyone who wants a job can receive a job. One of the best ways to get people the skills that they need to succeed is through a great education. Now, thankfully, we have some of the best schools in the country here in Wisconsin. The graduating class of 2015 had the second highest ACT scores in the country. And thanks to our efforts to prepare all students for college and career, the class of 2016 will be the first to be given the opportunity to take the ACT free of charge, helping overcome financial barriers and close achievement gaps. In our state, fourth and eighth grade reading scores went up again in 2015. And according to the most recent report, Wisconsin's high school graduation rates are also up again to the third best in the country. Here with us tonight are students from Kewaunee and Fenimore High Schools. In the most recent report, these two high schools graduated 100% of their graduating classes. Now, let's give a round of applause not just to them, but to their teachers and their parents and to all the others like them across the great state of Wisconsin. And speaking of students, we helped make college more affordable at our University of Wisconsin campuses as we froze tuition for the first time ever 4 years in a row. As a parent of two sons in college, I know how important it is to keep costs down for students and for the families who support them. During the 10 years before our freeze, the average annual increase in tuition within the University of Wisconsin system was over 8%. That was a 118% increase over a decade. Now, compared to the previous trend, our tuition freeze saves the average student more than $6,000 over 4 years. Now that's real money, and it helps make school more affordable for college students and working families. With us tonight are just a few of the UW students who have benefited from our tuition freeze. Please welcome Aaron Larson from Greenleaf, Michael Daniels from Appleton, and Sarah McQuaid from Heartland. Thanks for being here. We're also making it easier to get a great education at any of our excellent technical colleges within the state. Through our Blueprint for Prosperity initiative, we helped our technical colleges enroll another 5,000 students into high-demand career programs. And we increased the number of youth apprenticeships and adult apprenticeships over the past 4 years. Our youth apprenticeships have been more than doubled, and our adult apprenticeships have increased by more than 30%. You see, a good-paying career typically requires more than a high school diploma. We need our young people to have as many excellent higher education options as possible to prepare for the workforce needs of the 21st century. It also means changing our perspectives. We must value our students who choose to be highly skilled welders, IT technicians, or certified nursing assistants as much as we choose to honor those who choose to be doctors and lawyers. Each of these professions is vitally needed for a strong economy here in Wisconsin. Tonight, we are joined by Fox Valley Technical College students, Grant Richmond from Madison, Sarah Dernland from Appleton, Monica Stinsky from Emily Rohde from Nina, and their instructor, Elizabeth Roth. They are all finishing their training as CNNs just this week. In addition, we're helping working families, senior citizens, small business owners, and family farmers afford to live, work, play, and retire right here in Wisconsin. Tonight, I'm proud to say that property and income taxes are down from where they were before we took office. Now, that's a big deal. We didn't just slow the rate of increase. We actually reduced the tax burden from where it was 5 years ago. Tonette, not you glad for that. That's all right. Sure. Tonette and I used to grumble when our property tax bill showed up each December. In fact, probably like a lot of you, we often let it sit for a few days before we opened it up because we were afraid to see the increase. Now it is great to hear the stories of so many people who have a sigh of relief when they open their bills. You see, property taxes on a median valued home in Wisconsin were $116 lower this past year than they were in 2010. Over the past 5 years, that homeowner saved $1,227 from where property taxes were headed versus how they've gone down under our reforms collectively between 2010 and 2015. And it's not just property tax relief. We've got income taxes, too. A median income family will see a 4-year income tax reduction of $916. That's real money for hardworking taxpayers all across Wisconsin. We also helped farmers and manufacturers in our state with a production tax credit that is phased in through this year. This helps some of our most important industries. And we help lower the tax burden on small businesses. Our reforms help them invest more into their companies and to expand their workforces. One of the common things I hear from employers all across the state is that they have job openings, but that they cannot find enough qualified workers to fill these positions. That's why we've invested millions more into worker training programs. Still, we need more people in the workforce. We cannot afford to have anyone on the sidelines. I'm proud to say that we helped transfer 8,334 people from government dependence to true independence. You see, the state of Wisconsin now requires able-bodied adults without children in the home to be enrolled in a job training program before they can get food stamps. We believe in helping people get the training necessary to find rewarding careers. That's good for the taxpayers, as it reduces the number of people on government programs. It's good for employers, as many are looking for skilled workers. But best of all, it is good for each and every individual who is now able to find employment and control his or her own destiny. People like Jessica, who enrolled in our program last June. In August, she got a job in housekeeping at a local hotel. She now works full-time at a wood flooring mill. And get this, along the way, she also received help to finish her studies at North Central Technical College to be a certified nursing assistant. She just took her final exam for certification on January 8th. Congratulations, Jessica. She's also here tonight with her very proud grandmother and a great supportive team along the way. In the spring of 2015, Rebecca joined our program. Through job classes, she worked on interview skills and put together a resume. Rebecca searched for work and successfully gained employment at Walmart in the deli department. Rebecca's been employed now for more than 5 months, and she's grateful for the experience she received with our program. Thomas sought our help last June. Within a month, he got a job. In December, he was hired by Harley-Davidson as a full-time warehouse employee. For too long, government programs have entrapped individuals like this into extended dependency. Our reforms help people get the training that they need to get back up on their feet again. When we first proposed these reforms, some in this Capitol argued that we were making it harder to get government assistance. The truth is, we're making it easier to get a job. You see, true freedom and prosperity do not come from the mighty hand of the government. They come from empowering people to live their own lives, to the dignity that comes from work. Remember, back when I was a kid, my first job was washing dishes at the Countryside Restaurant. Later in high school, I flipped hamburgers at McDonald's in my hometown of Delavan. These jobs taught me the importance of hard work, and Tonette and I made sure our sons worked similar jobs at a pizza place and a custard stand. Traveling the state, I've heard many people tell me stories of their first jobs. You see, it is in our nature as humans to want to be productive and contribute to our families and to our communities. Think about it. No one signs a high school yearbook saying, "Good luck becoming dependent on the government." Instead, we aspire to be able to support ourselves and our families and to provide a good life for future generations. That's why our focus in state government is simple. Everyone who wants a job can find a job. Helping people identify a meaningful career is worth far more than a paycheck. It's really about people helping people achieve true independence. It's about living the American dream. In 2016, we want to help more people live that dream right here in Wisconsin. As mentioned, people across the state constantly tell me about job openings in their areas. To fill these positions, we need to work with students at a younger age to get them ready for the many exciting careers available in our state. In the fall, 25 school districts will be part of an academic and career plans pilot. We provided funding so every child in this state between grades 6 and 12 can have access to a plan beginning in the next school year. This will prepare students to think about their interests so they can take courses in junior high and high school that will prepare them for their future occupations. We have some of the best schools in the country, but we need to do more for our students to succeed in the 21st century. In the past, we enacted major reforms that helped schools reward great teachers, improve curriculum, and balance budgets. Now we need to do more to reform state government and put those savings into public education. One area to consider for real reform is the way we administer health insurance for state employees, which some experts believe could save tens of millions of dollars. Tonight, I commit to investing every penny of savings to the general fund from these specific reforms to support public education. People tell me that they appreciate our efforts to get the state's fiscal house in order, and that now is the time to use savings to help our students prepare for the future. Even before the next budget, we want to put more resources into public education. So tonight, I am pleased to announce that we will provide an additional $3 million for dual enrollment programs in our schools through Wisconsin Fast Forward. These grants will help districts partner with local technical colleges so our students can get a jump start on their career plans. We're also excited to work with the University of Wisconsin system to explore providing a 3-year degree that would start in our high schools and continue on many of our UW campuses. This would help reduce costs and move people into the workforce sooner. As mentioned this past week, student loan debt has increasingly become a burden for young professionals. The best way to tackle this issue is to keep the cost down in the first place. That's why we work together to freeze tuition for 4 years. Still, there are many young people who took out loans before our freeze or did so at private institutions. So we have a package of ideas to help offset the price of college and reduce the cost of student loan debt. We believe that these measures can garner bipartisan support in this legislative session. Tonight, I want to specifically thank Representative Dave Murphy, as well as Senator Howard Markwine, Senator Sheila Harsdorf, Representative John Mocco, and Representative Dave Heaton for working with us to put together these plans. First, you can clap for them. That's all right. First, we will allow for the full deduction of student loan interest on state income taxes. Second, we will increase Wisconsin grants for technical colleges to be able to offer assistance for another 1,000 students. Now remember, that's on top of the 5,000 more students we added under the Blueprint for Prosperity. Third, we'll extend and expand the emergency grants program for students at technical colleges and two-year UW campuses, college campuses. Fourth, we will increase internships within the UW system to help prepare students for future careers. And fifth, we look to expand transparency by sending information to students each year about their current and projected student loan debt levels and education cost. Tonight, I call on lawmakers in both parties to pass this legislative package as soon as possible to help lower the cost of higher education and to ease the burden of student loan debt. In addition, I look forward to working with UW System President Ray Cross, Board of Regents President Regina Milner, and Vice President John Bailey to strengthen and promote programs to allow students to graduate on time, to explore a three-year degree, and to expand the UW Flex option to a number of students equal to a new UW campus. Thanks for being here tonight. We want a quality education to be affordable in Wisconsin for college students and their families. You see, we now compete in a global economy. Education will drive success, as will technology. That is why I'm glad that we tripled the amount of funding in our budget dedicated for broadband access this year across the state. Now, as we all know, people can do business anywhere in the world, but they need access to high-speed internet connections. Our program partners with local investments to install a fiber network. Once completed, a private company provides the service. See, without our assistance, rural areas would be deprived of quality internet access because private companies just cannot justify the rate of return on investment. Our program helps small businesses, family farmers, tourism attractions, and public schools across the state. And while these investments are great, investing in our people is even more important. Today, we're assisting people with disabilities prepare to enter the workforce by helping employers understand their unique abilities. In 2015, the State Division of Vocational Rehabilitation assisted nearly 5,000 people with disabilities reach their employment goals. That was the highest rate in 15 years. We're also helping people with disabilities in high school get ready for careers through something called Project Search. Here in Wisconsin, the program has a success rate of 85%. That's higher than the national rate. Last year, we grew Project Search to 16 total employer sites. Tonight, I am pleased to note that our funding will help add three more employer sites in 2016. Helping to keep valuable employees in the workforce is also important. For example, many don't know that the majority of caregivers for people with dementia and Alzheimer's disease are also employed beyond their role as caregivers. With this in mind, we have a new kit for employers to use to help their valued employees who are caring for a loved one. Tonight, I invite you to get more information about this at dhs.wisconsin.gov/dementia. Now, the idea for this kit came from former Wisconsin Governor Marty Schreiber. As many of you know, his wife, Elaine, has been suffering from Alzheimer's disease. He worked with my Secretary of the Department of Health Services, Kitty Rhodes, on this project. Governor Schreiber is traveling tonight, but we're grateful to him and to Secretary Rhodes for their hard work on this issue. Helping people deal with their health care needs, including mental health, is another way to retain top talent in the workforce. We need to break the stigma and assist people to get the help that they need. I'm proud that we put more resources into mental health services than any Wisconsin governor in the past 25 years. In 2013, right here at this podium, I pronounced that no man or woman who served our country in the armed forces should return home and not be able to find employment. Here in Wisconsin, I'm proud to say that we lowered the unemployment rate for veterans in 2014 and again in 2015. Our state now has one of the lowest unemployment rates for veterans in the nation and significantly below the national unemployment rate for our veterans. Our goal is to see it drop again this year. We owe it to our returning heroes. All of these different initiatives are designed to increase independence while helping people get the education and skills that they need to succeed in the workforce. As I said at the onset of this address, the state of our state is strong. There are more people working in Wisconsin than at nearly any point in our state's history. Our state finances are stable. Overall, our school students are doing well. College tuition is frozen, and property and income taxes are down from where they were before I took office. Looking ahead, we have an aggressive plan over the next year to ensure that everyone who wants a job can find a job. We will enact this plan by helping the people of this state improve the economy and by investing in K-12 education, higher education, and worker training. Still, we need to do more. We need to prepare for the future. As we think about the next 20 years, I want to hear from you about your hopes and your dreams for your families, your communities, and your state. With this in mind, I'm proud to announce that we're going to visit every part of the state to hold listening sessions throughout 2016. So far, we've held sessions in Seymour, Prairie du Chien, Milwaukee, Osseo, Kewaunee, Sturgeon Bay, and Ashwaubenon. And we plan on coming to a community near you soon. So far, participants have included principals, farmers, small business owners, local government officials, retirees, veterans, teachers, construction workers, union members, parents, high school students, nurses, charitable organization leaders, superintendents, insurance agents, ministers, college students, machinists, law enforcement, and a librarian. This is personal for me, as I think the best way to plan for the future is to hear from people all over the state. We need a shared vision for the future. That is why I want to hear from you. I call it our 2020 Vision Project. The idea is to bring together a diverse mix of people in small group settings all across the state. I want to hear from you about what makes Wisconsin great, where you want to be over the next two decades, and how we should measure success. Now more than ever, it is important to consider the kind of state our children and our grandchildren will inherit. We need to think more about the next generation than just about the next election. The founders of our state and our country had that kind of long view of the world. Their founding principles were able to overcome partisan and political differences. We can do the same as we think about the kind of state we want to become over the next 20 years and beyond. On July 4th of this year, we will observe the 240th birthday of this great country, a nation built on the principle of freedom. As we celebrate, let us remember that our rights are endowed by our Creator, defined by our Constitution, but defended each and every day by the men and women who proudly wear the uniform. they and their families deserve our praise and our prayers. May God... May God bless each and every one of them. May God bless the great state of Wisconsin. And may God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
And so Governor Scott Walker concludes his sixth State of the State address before a joint session of the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate. Making his way out now, smiling. I have to describe this kind of as a low-key recitation of positive numbers.
There was not a lot new in there, no. It was a bit longer than some of the governor's previous State of the State addresses. But some of the policy initiatives he had already tipped off ahead of time, the stuff that he wants to do with higher ed, there was something in there about a potential for a three-year degree he wants to work on with the University of Wisconsin. There was talk about a tour of Wisconsin, talk about a significant change he actually talked about in there was changing the state's health insurance plan potentially, but he didn't provide any details
right on
that exactly.
That was interesting to me. He said that he wanted to take savings from a new way to administer state employee health care, savings from that, which he said could potentially run into the tens of millions of dollars. He said he wanted to put that, every penny of it, I think, the speech said, into education funding. So that was something that jumped out as new. And again, as you say, that three-year plan toward a college degree in a four-year institution, starting kids off with that in high school. But you know, those things, as well as the tour, we've discussed this kind of before we even heard the governor's speech, that this wasn't necessarily going to be one of those big years.
And some of the themes that he hit in there are very similar to the themes that he was hitting kind of in the run-up to his presidential campaign about, you know, no one signs a yearbook saying good luck being dependent on the government. It's kind of a take on, or a change-up of one of his campaign stump speeches from, you know, 2015. You heard the governor run through quite a few occupations in there, too, as he was talking about where he wants to grow the economy. Talking about everything from welders to certified nursing assistants to talking about how some of his programs have helped somebody get a job at Walmart.
In fact, we actually heard him refer to certified nursing assistants, CNAs, several times. So I actually am interested to see if that's a super growth market, which you think it might be, particularly given the demographics and healthcare needs and that kind of thing. But, yeah, it wasn't a particularly, you know, rousing tons of applause type speech. But the governor did, again, describe that he's going to go to all corners of the state and ask people what they want. And he said he wants to ask them what they want looking forward 20 years. And, you know, there's been discussion and the governor has dropped hints, apparently, that he's back in 2018 to run for reelection.
But I think you have to figure that's an open question. You know, he's definitely saying that. But what's the alternative for a sitting governor this far out?
Right.
If he were to say, you know, I think I might be done with this, that's a recipe for a lame duck and getting nothing done. So, you know, I think with any governor at this stage in their career, he's won a second term. I would think, you know, keeping that option is almost a must if you want to achieve your agenda in the remainder of your term.
So we see lawmakers on the floor talking, and many of them will be making their way to speak to television reporters, including Minority Leader Peter Barca, who leads the Assembly Democrats.
Yeah, Barca represents the Kenosha-Racine area in the 64th Wisconsin Assembly District. Representative Barca has tonight's minority response.
During his speech tonight, Governor Walker offered nothing more than Band-Aid proposals that are anemic and weak compared to the significant challenges we face in Wisconsin. The numbers are staggering. In 2015, roughly 10,000 hardworking Wisconsinites received layoff notices, the highest single-year total since the governor took office. Wisconsin still ranks in the bottom third for job growth, worst in the Midwest. And our middle class, unfortunately, is shrinking faster than any other state. We rank third worst for student loan debt, and our roads are also third worst in the nation. And Republicans have cut $1 billion from public K-12 schools since 2010. Wisconsin should be a leader. However, under Republicans, we are falling behind. When I travel the state, I hear people say we should invest in our public schools, level the playing field for the middle class, promote good-paying jobs, and invest in our roads and bridges. The truth is, the state of our state is being neglected by Republicans putting their own needs above the needs of everyday Wisconsinites. Last year, legislative Republicans did not stand up for Wisconsin interests because instead they chose to help Governor Walker in his failed run for the presidency. The Republican agenda included shifting $800 million from public schools to unaccountable private voucher schools over the next decade, a $250 million cut to our world-class university system, driving down wages for hardworking families, and rejecting federal funding that would have meant health care coverage for tens of thousands of our fellow citizens. This past fall, Republicans unfortunately opened up Wisconsin for corruption with an agenda designed to consolidate their own power and enrich the special interest groups bankrolling their campaigns. Perhaps most egregious was their late-night, secretive effort to dismantle our open records laws so they could hide their actions from the public. It's clear after that, Republicans cannot be trusted to do the right thing for the people of Wisconsin. The difference between Democrats and Republicans at this juncture could not be clearer. My Democratic colleagues and I have made growing the economy and rebuilding the middle class our top priorities. Our economic opportunity agenda would help create good-paying jobs, close the skills gap by connecting workers with available jobs, increase wages, and make us more competitive in a global economy. Our Bring Back the Middle Class package would boost retirement security, provide relief from high child care costs and student debt. Today alone, on the Assembly floor, Democrats voted for proposals that would ensure significant investments in our public schools, affordable health care coverage for tens of thousands of Wisconsinites that would incidentally also save taxpayers more than $300 million over the next 2 years. Democrats also voted for much-needed relief for more than 1 million student loan borrowers and equal pay protections for women in the workplace. Sadly, Republicans rejected every single one of these bills. Yet even in the face of these Republican inaction on these very important issues and their betrayal of your trust and your interest, I still believe the state of the people of Wisconsin is resilient. I am inspired every day by the hardworking men and women who make up the fabric of our state. But Wisconsin is in need of bold action for our workers and middle-class families, and Democrats are ready to lead. As Republicans continue to stack the deck against ordinary Wisconsinites and obscure this harmful agenda with election year distractions, Democrats are focused on leveling the playing field, rebuilding the middle class that the Republican agenda has hurt so deeply. You can trust Democrats to restore opportunity and grow wages for ordinary hardworking people. You can trust Democrats to work to rebuild a strong middle class. You can trust Democrats to grow an economy that works for everyone, not just a privileged few. While legislative Republicans pursued an agenda that was focused on helping special interests and their own special interests and self-interests this fall, legislative Democrats will continue to advocate for the people's agenda in 2016 and beyond. But we need your help. One of the proudest moments of 2015 was when you rose up and demanded that Republicans end their assault on open records. Your hard work and advocacy forced Republicans to back down. And you can do it again. I encourage you, talk to your neighbors, friends, and families about the direction our state is headed. Become engaged. Make your voice heard. Together, we can put Wisconsin back on the right track and make sure the state of our state is stronger for all of our citizens. Thank you for watching, and as always, Wisconsin, forward.
That was Wisconsin Assembly Minority Leader Peter Barca.
If you'd like to see Minority Leader Barca's Democratic response or the governor's speech again, you can go to our website at Wisconsin Public Television at WPT.org. Should be posted later on tonight.